chapter 12. Now, later we'll be taking our prayer requests. I've asked Brother Dale to lead in prayer. And Neil, I'm going to ask you also if you will also lead in prayer. We'll have Dale start off, and then you can follow him and conclude the prayer. And right now we're looking at Acts chapter 12. What do you do? Well, there's many things that could answer that question. How about this? What do you do in times of crisis? That narrows it down, doesn't it? Gets a little more specific. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Little clarification here. It says, then were the days of unleavened bread. He killed James. It pleased the Jews, so he took Peter. Book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read verse 28. Many of you know this by heart and can quote it. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, doesn't look like that worked out too good for James. Worked out pretty good for Peter. He just got taken, put in jail. James got killed. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Here's the key. To them who are called according to his purpose. Notice, not plural, not purposes. It's his purpose. God has a purpose in calling each one of us. Amen. There's a variety of events and happenings throughout the course of a period of time, throughout the course of our lifetime, that we would be able to look at. But here, it's not talking about events that happen. He's just simply saying to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose in calling us. One thing we should all do before we panic or sin against God is trust God.
Amen.
Okay? Trust God. Now I want you to listen to this tonight. Not so much with your head and your knowledge of Scripture. Not so much with your mental awareness of the teachings of the Bible, but I'd like you to listen to it with your heart. Now, you can't separate your heart from your head, okay? You can't eliminate what you think from what you feel. We're one total being. But nevertheless, I want you to listen with your heart. We need to respect the mystery of God's ways. That is the providence of God. As we read through the Bible, we can see the hidden hand of God. That is, we can see God working in ways we do not realize and surely would not understand if we did realize it. Now, when I say we can read through the Bible and see that, we're, of course, in reading through the Bible, looking in hindsight. We're looking after these things have happened. And therefore, we can better grasp them. But in living, these things are in the future. And we cannot see that hidden hand of God and how he's leading and what he's doing because of the purpose that he has for our life. And that's why we need to trust God. And we need not panic, and certainly should not sin by the actions or the words or even the thoughts that we would have about whatever the event in life is. Now, this may be true in your life right now. God is working, but you cannot see him. All you can see, perhaps, is the chaos and the upset that's in your life. Philippians, Paul's letter to the church, the people of Christ in the city of Philippi. Philippians chapter 2. Maybe you've wondered already why I repeat the text so frequently. You know why I do that? Because many a time my mind is on the thought that was just said. And then a preacher gives a text, but I didn't hear it because I'm thinking about what he just said, trying to assimilate that. And so then I need to lean over to my wife and say, what did he say? You know, if she's not there, Emily knows. I've leaned over to her already and said, where are we at? She's probably thinking, why aren't you listening? Now you know. Okay? And I've even leaned up front already to whoever's sitting there in the row in front of me and asked them. And so that's why I say them several times so that the slow people like me can get it. Now, where are we at? Oh, Philippians chapter 2. I knew where we were. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So what I said was, don't panic, don't sin. Okay? The sin part would come in by the murmurings and the arguings, the disputings that might take place over whatever the chaos is that's in one's life, sometimes between marriage partners, sometimes between parent and child, sometimes between just two Christian friends, sometimes just an individual with himself, okay? But I love this 13th verse. I do not have a favorite verse. I feel so ungodly saying that when I hear of an individual who has a life verse, you know, or this is the verse that guides me, and I don't have one, okay? I've got bunches of them. But, you know, if I had to narrow them down, this would be in the narrowed version, okay? For it is God which worketh in you. Now, it doesn't say he's working in you when you feel him working. It doesn't say he's working in you when you feel spiritual and would expect him to be working. It's all it says is God is working in you. My, what an encouragement. So even when I'm half backslidden, I don't want to admit to being backslidden, say, even if I'm just not where I ought to be, even if I'm just not, maybe it's not a whole encompassing time, maybe just today I'm just not really with it. You know, I'm not ungodly and I've not gone out committed horrible sins, but you know, I wouldn't be volunteering for some things today because it's just one of them days. God's still working in me. And that's important for us to remember. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his intentions for his purpose for you. You say, well, that's not what my Bible says. Well, neither does mine. Mine says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has a purpose for our life, and he is going to work in us to guide us to that purpose. Now, for sure, if we want to rebel against God, if we want to play a Jonah, God is stronger than us, and he's gonna get us where he wants us to be. And if he can't get us where he wants us to be, then he's gonna take us where we ought to be, and that's to heaven. Okay? There is a sin, and we're told we should not. John didn't say we should pray for it, but there is a sin unto death.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if we persist in that sin, and there is not a specific sin, in your life it may be one thing, in my life it would be another thing, and in their life it could be yet a different thing. But the fact is that when I won't leave that sin, when I won't repent of that sin, when I won't turn from that sin, and God may indeed come to the point where he says, that's it, Roger Hain, you've had enough opportunities. You'll not shame my name any longer.
Yes, sir.
It's time to come home. That's when you might read in the newspaper about a horrible car crash. That's when you might read about a heart attack. That's when you might read about falling down steps. Okay? It's just going to look like an explainable event that caused Roger Haynes' death. But Almighty God knows there was something in his life he would not give up. And therefore, it was time to take him home. And so we need to be careful about that. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's going to accomplish in our life what he wants to accomplish. Now, with Philippians in mind there, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13:20. Here in Paul writing to the Hebrew believers, he says in verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. My, what a blessing. He is the shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21. Make you perfect. The great shepherd of the sheep. He's going to make you perfect. That's complete. In every good work. What's it say then? Tell me out loud. To do his will.
Amen.
Working in you. He's working in you that which is well pleasing to you. Oh, in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Our life is to bring glory to God forever and ever, and he's going to be working in us. Just because it doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense.
That's right.
I'm going to repeat that, okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just because something doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean that that thing doesn't make sense.
True.
It's just that we can't see it. We don't understand it because we are not God. He is God. We are the subjects. Consider Acts 12. As I stated earlier. Why should James be killed? If God is God, why did he let that happen? That's an ageless question.
Yes, sir.
And you can count on it till the day that you die, there's going to be somebody who's going to ask that. I dare say that probably, my opinion, 85% of the people that ask that do it in skepticism.
That's right.
And rebellion against God.
Yes, sir.
If God is God, why did he let it happen?
Yep.
A sincere Christian might ask that, might wonder that, but not in skepticism, not in rebellion to God. Just wondering because we are human. But most people that ask it, and listen, doesn't matter what you answer them, it's not going to satisfy them.
Sure.
No matter what you answer them, you're never going to find somebody say, oh my goodness, I never realized that. Oh, now I believe in God. No. And they're looking for something to support their unbelief. Why was Peter released and James killed? Because God sees and knows what we do not know.
That's right.
That's why. That's why. And because God has purposes to accomplish that are far more important than our opinions and our understandings.
Yeah.
Of what ought to be and how life ought to be. You see, now we go back to one of my very opening statements. Don't panic, don't sin, just trust God. Trust God. As Christians, we do not live by explanations, we live by faith. God, in his word, gives us much understanding and insights to himself. Therein, we have many things explained. But we live by faith, not by explanations. Well, I'll be a good Christian if God explains this. Well, I'll be obedient in that matter if God will explain this matter. No, we live by faith. We live by trust. One man said, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. Let me repeat it. Life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. I don't know about you, but I like mystery shows, mystery programs. There's a whole series that comes out of England. I like to watch them. Pat likes mysteries also, but she cannot get her mind around the thought patterns of the British. Really? And then you add to it, and this may be even more the issue, and that is the language. She cannot follow their accents, which is amazing because she usually will get an accent and I won't. But nevertheless, there's a whole series, and I like to watch them because it's an hour-long program. The first 50 minutes is giving you little insights to this, to that. They're setting you up that it's probably him. No, it's likely her. No, I think this one over here did it, you know. And then in the last 10 minutes, boom, and it shows how it all comes together. They just keep putting pieces of the puzzle, you know, down. And then in the last 10 minutes, they slide them all into place, okay? Life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. Let God slide all those pieces into place. Just because we can't see the hand of God working does not mean that God is not working. Here's where the faith and the patience comes in. Now, I told you, listen with your heart. Because with your head, you're going to try and think through some of the situations you have faced or are facing. And you're going to try to understand them. And it isn't understanding that will get us through them as much as it is that strength of God's grace. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more we come to trust. And when I say the longer, I don't mean in a number of months or years. I mean the more frequent, can I use that word? The more frequent that we walk with Jesus, the more we will come to trust His presence, and the less that we will fear our circumstances. Or are you unusual? And when you have a circumstance that is chaotic and troublesome, that you don't fear it. Yeah, think about it. It's the fear of it that troubles you. Because it's what you anticipate this thing could do, or you think it's going to do to you. And so you fear it. Now let me ask you another question, seemingly goes in a different direction. Have you lost your song? Yeah, we've gone from what I've been talking about now to singing. Have you lost your song? Decades ago, oh man, 40, 50 years ago, some of the most popular movies. Now, you say, you seem to know an awful lot about movies for somebody who doesn't go to the movies, okay? You know, I'm glad I thought of this because I've been thinking since I made that statement one Wednesday. I really need to clarify that. You know, like I said, I'm not against anybody going to movies. I'm not against seeing movies. Okay, it's just I grew up in a time and I've held to this long. I don't. It'd be more discombobulating to change now. You know what that is, don't you, Jody? Discombobulating. Okay. It'd be more discombobulating to change now. Okay. So I just don't go to theaters. And in order to compensate for that, I don't go out and rent a bunch of movies that I go to a theater and watch. Okay. But that doesn't mean I don't watch decent movies. Okay. I just told you I like mysteries. Okay. And musicals. I have yet to see an R-rated musical. Now, having said that, there's probably some out there, you know. I mean, just like Pat and I will see on TV, and they'll talk about actors and actresses. And we'll look at each other, I don't know who she is. Do you know who he is? No, we don't know any of these names that they're using. That's what happens when you get old. But decades ago, get back to the point, musicals were very popular. And in the middle of a scene, someone would burst into a song. Not very realistic, okay? Well, you know, John, I can imagine you and your brothers working around here, working out there on something, and one of you all of a sudden starts singing a song that came to mind. You live your own musical. And where's the camera? Well, no, musicals aren't realistic, but they are artistically entertaining. The seriousness of it. During the Babylonian exile, the Israelites lost their song. Psalm 137 tells us, they hung their harps on the willows and explained why, in that they could not possibly sing the songs of Zion in their present circumstances. So when we've lost our song, we need to focus on Christ, not the circumstance. And we can get our song back. If we focus on Christ, the circumstance won't change. The circumstance won't go away. The circumstance will be just as problematic. It'll be just as threatening. But when we focus on Christ, we can get our song back. Turn, if you will, and I'll close with this scripture. The book of Job. The book of Job. Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. In Job 35, Elihu is speaking. And I want to focus on verse 10, where we read, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" Who giveth songs in the night. Are you in a nighttime part of your life? Are you living a nighttime experience? God can give a song in the night. Don't forget it. I don't remember who the individual was. It was a Christian servant. He had a musical ministry. It took place at night that you would listen to this radio program. You recall it, Pastor? Yeah, Sister Ruthann. I thought when I said songs in the night, I saw your smile. And this particular man, the theme of his program was songs in the night. He had a double take on it because his program was at night. And then he would address the heartaches, the discouragement that his listeners were facing. And he would tell them that you can have a song in the night. Father in heaven, how grateful we are for the truth of your word, the scriptures that give us your Father, the encouragement when we need it because of the discouragements of life, the lifting up of the downtrodden, the enabling us, dear Father, to not see only the circumstance, but more so to see the Christ. So I pray, dear Father, that you would lead and guide and work in our hearts and our lives this night, as we pray in Jesus' name.